Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we try to keep you informed of what's happening in the Middle East. We connect you to the people, places, and geography of what you read about in God's Word. It's so important that we understand what's happening in that part of the world so we can pray about all of the events happening there, pray for the Jewish people, pray for everything that's happening there in the Middle East. On today's show, I want to share with you a conversation that a dear friend of mine, Aaron Free, had with his wife. Aaron is the head of Israel Team Advocates. This is an incredible organization that does so much for the Jewish people, and they empower people to stand for truth, countering the global misinformation being fomented against the Jewish people and their homeland, and they address the humanitarian needs in Israel and beyond. They have an incredible organization. It's called Israel Team Advocates, and you can find out more about what they do when you go to israelteam.org, israelteam.org. And Aaron released a podcast that I want to share with you that has to do with Christmas and Hanukkah and how we can use this time together at the Christmas table, at the Hanukkah table, whatever you do, maybe you do both of them, as a time of just coming together as a family and just making it very, very special. So get set and let's listen to Aaron Free, the president of Israel Team Advocates, as he talks about the Christmas table and shares some very important information along with his wife.
I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah, and wonderfully this year, both Christmas and Hanukkah are on December 25th. So we've been talking about the benefits of the family meal and joining together as a family this holiday season. And I want to talk about it again today. And we have a very special guest with me today. And it's my wife, Sharon. And she's going to talk about the benefits of the family meal and how it has really added so much blessing in our family. And I want to open with a scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it's known as the Shema, and Shema means hear. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house." Another translation says, "when you sit at your table, and when you walk along the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So in Hebrew, it is Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuto Me'el Leolam Va'ed. And so it's sort of the national anthem in Jewish culture, religious Jewish culture, the Shema. We must hear what the Lord is saying to us, tie his commandments around our fingers, nail them to the doorpost of our homes. If you've gone to a Jewish home, you see the mezuzah on the doorpost, and it has in it the Shema, Deuteronomy 6. Just a constant reminder to walk in God's commandments. And so it says, teach these things to your children when you sit by the table. And so it's interesting, but when my wife and I, our first trip to Israel back in 2002, our big takeaway was the table. I mentioned this last time on Israel New, was the table. And we came home saying, you know what, we all eat like snack here and there, but we really aren't focused on the family table, the family meal. So starting in 2002, we made it a point, and we've done this every night of the week ever since 2002. We create a family table. We've got all the papers and the bill paying and all the things we sometimes stack on our tables, got that all in other places in the house. And we've created a space for our family to communicate. And so my wife is in education in medicine. She's the associate dean at the University of South Alabama, associate dean of nursing. And so when she came back, she started researching the health benefits, not only just the spiritual and communication benefits of sitting together in a family and teaching your family, teaching your children while you sit at the table, but she started looking into the health benefits, and she's written, published many articles, one of which is in the Journal of Nurse Practitioners. It's entitled The Surprising Benefits of the Family Meal. It's a great article. You can look it up. And some of the sources my wife quotes in this article is a, one of the books is a book by Putman, and it's entitled Bowling Alone. And I read that book several years ago. It's an incredible book. And I remember when I grew up, everybody's on the front porch, and neighbors are talking to one another. You knew your neighbors, and kids are playing in the yard and riding their bicycle through the streets. Neighbors are connected. People are communicating. And so what Putman says in the book is, you know, now you go to a bowling alley and there's just individuals bowling. We used to have bowling leagues back in the 60s and 70s. It was a thing. And another book by Mao, it's entitled Eating Alone. And actually, it's an article, Eating Alone. And I think what's happened in our culture is we've become very, very isolated as individuals. And our activities are alone. Our mealtime is alone. And so Sharon, you know, wrote this article, The Surprising Benefit of the Family Meal. Her article was actually written up, a story about it, in USA Today. It's entitled, Each Family Dinner Adds Up to Benefit for Adolescents. And so you can research her name, Dr. Sharon Free, F-R-U-H, and read some of her articles on the benefits of the family meal. But we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about bringing our families together during this holiday season, whether you're celebrating Christmas or Hanukkah, and maybe you want to celebrate both. Some people call it Chrismica, and you know, find the light of the Feast of Lights, and find the joy of celebrating both holidays.
This is a topic that's really near and dear to my heart, so I'm really honored to get to share about this morning. And I, you know, one thing that I think that's really transpired in our culture is that the eating alone, I think electronics came in, you know, a lot of college campuses. Years ago, like when Aaron and I were in college, everybody sat around a table and talked. Now, cafeterias are exchanging trays for to-go containers. And I think people are going by themselves and checking their phones. And I think it's become sort of a cultural norm just to eat by yourself or be by yourself. And so I think that the power of sitting together as a family really adds so many benefits. And it's really healthy for our emotions as well as our physical well-being.
So Sharon, tell us, you know, in your research, what are some of the big takeaways that we can put into practice this holiday season as we bring our families around the table? And I'll just say this up front, you know, we live in a very divisive time in the United States, and we certainly don't want our Hanukkah or Christmas tables to be places of conflict. We want them to be places of peace where everybody's welcome. And I'm reminded of the story of Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son. And King David, when he became king, he said to Mephibosheth, "You're welcome at my table." And if you remember the story, when there was a war, Mephibosheth's caretaker was running from the palace and dropped him, and he was a cripple the rest of his life. His legs probably were broken and probably had a limp. But when he sat at the king's table, his legs were covered under the tablecloth. And I think that's the way it should be with all of us when we come to the table of our family, that we're all crippled in some way. We've all got broken wings. But when we come to the family meal table, it should be a place where we're accepted, no matter our social issues or our political issues. It's a place where love covers over a multitude of sins and a multitude of issues that we might have. And so make your table a place of peace, not a place of conflict. So Sharon, tell us some of the benefits of eating together as a family.
Well, you know, I think if you look at the research, there's so many benefits, from health benefits. Kids eat healthier, as well as emotional connectiveness. And then also kids learn how to be resilient. They hear stories. So I think the big takeaway with the meal is, as Aaron shared, we try to keep it a place that's fun, a place that people really kind of leave their electronics at another place, because how many times you've sit down with a meal with somebody and they're constantly checking their phone, and I think they don't really stay engaged. So I think it's important we kind of let everybody leave their electronics, you know, in a little basket, kind of just enjoy each other. We keep it positive. We share the accomplishments. We really celebrate individuals. We really try hard to engage everyone at the table. You know, we have all ages and 9 grandkids, so we just try our best to keep everybody sharing about their life, and we really always keep it a very positive place. And I think, you know, day in and day out, as parents have meals with their children, one thing I really encourage you to refrain from is just not correcting anyone at the table, you know, not saying, hey, the principal called today, or even correcting how they're eating. That's a time later. Make the table a place that's fun. And a lot of times we'll purposely ask some ice-breaking questions, and I ask a lot of open-ended questions, which is basically, you know, did you have a good day? No, yes, but I go a little bit deeper. Tell me about your day, you know, on your average day in and day out. A lot of times, too, when we have our family together, we'll just ask really fun questions. For example, like if money wasn't an issue, you could do anything you want, what would you do? And we've learned so much about our son-in-laws, some of their dreams, some things that they would really love to do. Our kids, I try really hard to think of questions before the table. And if you ever need resources, you can go online. There's even great little booklets and packets and things that help you with open-ended questions. You can just even look online and get a list of questions that you want to think, just to kind of keep in your mind, just fun things to bring out at the table. But we really try to make it fun. I do a lot of fun things around the table. You know, for example, one thing we do on birthdays is everybody shares something that they love about that person, something really special. If there's a celebration with someone graduating, we all highlight that person. And I think it makes them feel very special, very celebrated. So I think the key is we keep the table a place of celebration. One thing I do that's kind of fun during the holidays is I put everybody's name at the table. I have a spot, and then what their name means, and then something special about them. And then we all go around the table. We just make it a fun, make it relaxed. But I think when they come to the table, they enjoy it. We keep it fun. We keep it positive. And we never bring up controversial topics, or we want the table to be a place of fun.
Yeah, you have to use your own creativity. Just a wonderful creative space. So what I've done is I've written little blessings out for each one of my family members and sons-in-law, grandchildren, everyone. I write their names, and we set their name where they're going to be sitting, and we split it up. So we're all, each mealtime, we're all sitting at different spots, so we, you know, connect with different people. And then I write a little blessing, and they open the envelope. It's just a private message to them of my blessing to them, what I see God doing in their lives. And it's meaningful. And you have to put time into this. And it could take, you know, a few hours, maybe a few days of prep time, of thinking through how do we want to create this space. It's not just about the meal. Think about in the first century church, mealtime lasted 4 or 5 hours. It was a long process. It was where you sat and talked in a Deuteronomy 6, the Shema. Talk about these things when you sit at the table. So you talk about the Lord, what he's doing in your life, what your dreams are, what your goals are. And Sharon mentioned asking questions, and here's some of the questions I ask. There's 5 questions here. These come from Peter Block. He's a leadership expert. And question 1, if your last 5 years is a chapter. What is the chapter about? It's a great icebreaker. It's like, you know, I've been through a lot the last 5 years. You know, tell us about the highs and the lows. Second question, what would you do if you were not afraid? And I always say that a lot of people prefer a familiar captivity than an unfamiliar freedom. And there's a lot of things we probably would do if we weren't afraid. Maybe we're afraid of failure. Maybe we're afraid of change. Maybe we're afraid of, you know, stepping out in faith and doing something new. But what would you do if you were not afraid? Three, when we come back to this table a year from now, what would you like to be celebrating in your life? It's a great question from Peter Block. Four, what is something you keep postponing? You know, what is that thing that you really know you're supposed to be doing, but you keep putting it off? And the fifth question, what purpose or mission do you no longer believe in? And I think there's times in our life when you really believe in something and you're moving forward, and then there's a change and your ideal shift, your longing shift, but you keep doing the same thing just because you're afraid of moving away from that purpose. You know, sometimes God changes our destinies, and we have to change when the cloud shifts. With the children of Israel, when the cloud moved, they moved. But sometimes we just keep doing the same things. Someone once said, insanity is doing the same thing again and again, expecting the same results. So that's a great question. What purpose or mission do you no longer believe in?
You know, and sometimes too, what I've done with, as you're around the table, you always want it to be like natural and relaxed, but there's always some family members that are a little more quiet. They're not going to be sharing so much. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll say, for example, our son, hey, tell us like what's been your greatest challenge with school this semester, or, you know, share some things that you've navigated. Or I sometimes have a son-in-law who's a, you know, he does part-time coaching and with his kids, and share some of your fun experiences, some funny stories. I'll sometimes call them out, and then they love sharing that. So I try really hard just to think ahead, or as we're eating, just, you know, just to sometimes or pick up on a conversation that started. And sometimes people may be eating, then it may be more towards the end of the meal. It's not like it's a hard-pressed communication time, but I think it's just a relaxed time where people feel safe. They want to share. And then that kind of carries over into the evening, people sharing and letting everybody feel accepted with what, you know. And I think sometimes just asking questions brings out a lot of interesting conversation.
And I think also one of the wonderful things that we do, and my wife's parents have passed, my parents have passed, but when they were alive, our children would ask them questions. And we often used the family table for grandma and grandpa to talk about their past. My wife's mother's from Norway, her father's from Sweden. So she grew up in an immigrant family. And her father speaks, he's bilingual. He speaks Spanish, Swedish, and English. And Sharon's mother, when, you know, she was with us, she speaks Norwegian and English. And so her mom in World War II, Norway was under German captivity. And so the kids have wanted to know all about what was it like in World War II, and, you know, you were under German occupation. So use the mealtime, especially at Christmas or Hanukkah holiday. There's going to be a lot of elderly people, grandmas and grandpas, and we're grandparents now. We have 9 grandchildren. So our grandkids at the table will often ask us, what was it like when you were a kid? You know, what were some of the things that you did when you were a kid? I said, well, you know, we had skateboards like you guys do. We had bicycles. There's a lot of things similar. And so children want to know what the grandparents did back in the day. They want to know the values of the grandparents. And I'll say this, grandparents have such an influence on grandchildren that they can say things that probably the parents have said again and again. But when grandma or grandma says it, grandma or grandpa says it, it's different. It carries a little more weight. I always like to say, raise your children so that you can spoil your grandchildren. Because if you spoil your children, you'll end up raising your grandchildren. So use the mealtime as just a wonderful place of communication. So our prayer for you is that this season, Christmas and Hanukkah, will be a wonderful time in your family. Bring them together. Invest some time in creating a space that is filled with communication, peaceability, zero conflict, and this can happen. But you got to plan for it. Make it a place of zero conflict and rejoicing and fun. And I'm going to ask Sharon if she'll close us out today with a Christmas and Hanukkah blessing for our tables.
Thank you for just the privilege of being able to share some of this. And I think my big takeaway is make it fun. Make the kids and grandkids, and I do a lot of fun little things around the table, put a lot of cute things, and just make it a place of fun. Well, God, I thank you for all the families represented on this that listen to this podcast. And I really pray that the meal, the family time will be very special this year for Hanukkah, for Christmas, whatever holiday they're celebrating. And may the families feel loved, connected, and may the grandkids grow to be resilient. And may the time around the table be a memory of a lifetime. We thank you. Amen.
That's a great conversation from Aaron and Sharon about the Christmas table. And of course, Aaron, the president of Israel Team Advocates. I want to encourage you to find out more about that organization when you go to israelteam.org. That's israelteam.org. And as we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I just want to share with you a selection of scriptures from God's Word that have to do with this very special time that we're celebrating, Christmas coming up in just a few days. And I think you're going to enjoy this combination of scriptures as we think about all that the Lord has done for us. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Arise, shine, for your light is come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness covers the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And it came to pass in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with a child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. All of us here at American Family Radio and American Family Association want to wish you and your family a blessed Christmas celebration as we think about the birth of Jesus Christ and what it means to all of us, the fact that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and he loves you. And as we think about Christmas, I just want to encourage you to just enjoy the special time together as a family. I also want to encourage you, take a few minutes out of your busy Christmas schedule to pray for everything going on there in the Middle East, and especially the Jewish people. The Jewish people have gone through so much since October 7, 2023, when thousands of terrorists came across the border of Israel, slaughtered innocent Jewish people. There are still hostages that are being held in the Gaza Strip. Of course, Israel has faced wars on 7 different fronts, with Iran attacking them and so many other things going on there in the land of Israel. They need our prayers, and I want to encourage you as a family this Christmas season to please pray for the Jewish people as you get together with family and friends. And I want to encourage you to tell your friends about the Middle East Report. You can follow me on any of the major podcast platforms out there. Just search for The Middle East Report, and you'll see it right there. Say the American Family Association, and you'll know it's the official Middle East Report. I hope you'll follow me. Of course, you can always go to afr.net. Thank you for listening. I'm John Riley.